Wicked Anime is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other wicked awesome geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 111. We have made it to three digits all in the same row for the first time ever.
The next time that you're going to get three digits in a row is 222, so that's like another 120 episodes.
111. Yeah. It's exactly 111. So.
Oh, man, we'd be doubling our
numbers.
That'd
be another 2 years.
Almost three.
Yeah, that 4 years.
Jeez, I don't want to do that.
Oh yeah, that you're right.
I don't want to do another 4 years of Wicked Anime.
Wow, that's sad.
No, that's not true. I would love to do Wicked Anime forever, but as long as I'm not doing any other job besides that one.
Andrew just went down the fan ranking of favorite cast member from that statement alone.
4 years just seems so daunting from like right now, right this second. Four years from now,
we can't skip any numbers. That's can terrifying. We skip like 50 episodes?
I'm gonna be 30 years old.
Yep,
that's like exactly when on my 30th birthday.
So this is
our first episode off of Con Month.
Yeah,
and if you guys remember, what we said was the format was gonna be a little bit different. It's not a scary change to the show. It's probably going to be a fun change to the show, but we have a lot of work stuff getting in the way. As I mentioned before, I just said, as long as we're doing Wicked Anime full time, 4 years doesn't seem so bad. Well, right now we aren't doing Wicked Anime full time, and some of us are back in school, right, mm-hmm. Jonathan?
Yeah, and I'm back in school in more ways than one.
Yeah. So while Jonathan is back in school and learning himself good, we are going to have to break down the podcast into a shorter show. So each and every single one of us is going to bring forth a topic for us to discuss. Then we're going to talk about what we're watching. No, then we're going to talk about the Tamagotchi, which, coincidentally, this episode is what we're watching.
I think that typically we would do a what we're watching.
Yeah,
still,
we would.
Because that's pretty important. Yeah, yeah. I want to talk about what animes are
good.
Well,
and that's what where our fans find new shows to watch.
Yeah, but this episode in particular, we could skip right over that because actually, it's the new spring season of anime. And man, good stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of sequels.
Very good stuff.
Yeah, this is the spring season of sequels.
But we'll
And then after that, we're going to do fan service.
Yeah, we have a lot of fan service that we need to catch up on from before Con Month had started. So, and then when we were at Anime Boston, that was kind of a daunting task to keep up with.
Cool. So, I guess we should get right into it.
Yes.
But before we get into it, I'm sure some of you are thinking, man, what was in that box?
If anybody was following our Facebook page,
Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, there was something that went out.
There was a mystery box that I was holding at Anime Boston, and I said Team Rocket gave us a mystery box.
They did. So let's talk about it. It's time to ring the news bell. Oh, what?
Crazy. What? So we met Wicked Fan Ian at Anime Boston, and he was dressed as Team Rocket, which was so cool.
Actually, his costume was really missing, though, and he was handing out free candy to everybody.
Underneath he was dressed as a Team Rocket.
Yeah.
And so he gave us the box, and we opened up the box, and inside is a bell, but it wasn't just a bell. He wrote something on the inside of it. And on the top it says, Newsbell Chan, heart. So we now have a Newsbell Chan.
Yeah.
I think I should say Newsbell.
Your very own Wicked Anime Waifu.
Yeah, so that's right. So maybe we'll have to like draw a actual Moetan of Newsbell Chan.
We tried that already.
We tried it once, but now we have a direction to go off of.
I guess so.
but it was time to ring the Newsbell news. Like, so I can still ring the my news bell, but now we actually have News Bell Chan to help us.
Yeah, and we'll know for sure. We'll definitely know for we'll know for sure.
So thank you so much, Ian. That was, you were there when we opened it up, and we, like, freaked out. We were just like, this is the coolest thing
we
ever.
We were very happy about it. We were extremely happy about it, and yes. I really hope that News Bell Chan is here to stay.
Yes, so thank you very, very much. And Anime Boston overall was a huge, massively great experience. Particularly this season or this year for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes. we met up with our old fans. We met with some new fans. We got gifts like crazy. And we met with Temsu, who has been a longtime fan of Wicked Anime and Nerdy Show as a whole. And it was just a blast.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much,
yeah,
guys.
We
for
met a lot
out.
Of great people. We met up with fellow like journalists. We made new contacts. And hopefully you'll hear some of those journalists on future episodes of Wicked Anime as guest stars.
Yeah, because a lot of them were super awesome. They have, like, great ambitions for, you know, for the media industry, for anime. Evan, who were the guys who you were with at Okamoto's? I have their
business. Oh, Bunko. Here. Bunko.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those guys,
Latin American people.
Those guys were awesome. Like, their mission was so broad topic. They were from Latin America, and their mission was basically Evan's show, but to reach all countries within South America.
They also said
that
they were...
Oh, sorry, Central America.
Yeah, they also said that they were translating, like, if we as Wicked Anime sent them an article, they would translate it into Spanish.
Yep.
And
they would distribute it
throughout. Distribute it through Central America.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yep.
They did have a lot of trouble getting into press events because they were trying to get into some press events that they weren't invited to.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they were initially talking to about, but they were, like, really trying very hard to, you know, get in and meet Okamoto's. But Okamoto's, of course, is a Japanese guest. They're very, very touchy about those. Like, they have to know way ahead of time who's going to be there and what kind of questions they're going to be asking.
Right.
Right, exactly, because, you know, because usually in the Japanese music industry, they don't like it when they ask anything too personal.
Yeah, exactly. Just don't ask about our wives or...
Yeah, or our home lives and our houses and where we live and how to get our contact information.
Yeah. What's your sosh?
The thing that actually, like, really shocked me was how huge the Japanese music scene is in South America and Latin America. Like... What I've been trying to do with No Borders, No Race has already been successful down there with what they've been doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a quick little jump back into Anime Boston. But,
man, there was so much that we could have talked about on our post-con podcast, but
we just didn't have time.
Because, yeah, we were kind of being rushed out of the building. We were on a very tight time limit. So, but, yeah, let's get into it. We've already rung News Bell Chan for the very first time on our show ever.
I don't think we have any news. Does anybody have news to bring forward?
Yeah, well, what I want to talk about is Evan and I, we kind of have our news stories. I want to talk about is a very interesting thing that I heard about Netflix. Now, Netflix has really, really been on the ball with bringing anime series and... For the first time, I don't think we talked about it on the show because ever since the trailer dropped, because I think we were in the midst of Con Month when the trailer dropped, which was the trailer for Death Note, the live-action American Death Note with Willem Dafoe as Ryuk.
I'm just going to say right now, there's a lot of stuff that we found out before Con Month, including fan service, and we held on to that until after Con Month was over.
Right. But that's not the piece of news that I want to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Even though this is a thing, which, by the way, Willem Dafoe, I'm just saying, is going to make the best Ryuk ever.
Agreed. He's going to be so amazing.
He's going to kill it.
Like I said, like him playing the Green Goblin as Spider-Man was preparing him for this role.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's just always been...
He's just weird.
Yeah, he's just a weird dude. So,
On a scale of Lady Gaga to Willem Dafoe, how weird are you?
That was a really old
joke.
That
was a really
joke.
Old joke, but
Dylan
a good one.
Made that joke, and I think we were still in single digits.
Dylan Senpai.
But the one other thing that I had seen was that they're doing the same thing for Erased.
Are they?
Yeah, Netflix is developing a American series based on Erased that is going to be distributed to over 190 countries.
That's awesome.
I need to correct you. It's actually a Japanese TV series that's going to be exclusive to Netflix.
Oh, I did not know that. But it's still going to be distributed in other countries, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. Okay, well, that's that kind of makes me... I don't know how to feel about that. That doesn't make me feel different one way or the other. Because Japan has trouble with, in the same way that America does. I'm not knocking just Japan. Same way that American takes their properties.
Now, my question is, though, is what it's going to be like. Because simply because the animation was so cool. Like, the way they distributed emotions amongst characters in animated form, will those same emotions come across in acted out form? Now, we've seen amazingly well-written stories through things like Breaking Bad and, you know, Game of Thrones. So we know it's possible to write incredibly emotional and acted out stuff like drama like that. But animation can push it so much farther.
Right.
So
that's why I've always said that I thought that like a show like Preacher, which I thought was decent, but I felt like it could have been much better if it was an animated series and not a live-action one.
Well, technically it was. It was a comic book first.
I know that, but that's what I'm saying. It should have been adapted into an animated series instead of a live-action show.
Well, there's the problem that you get when you take that in an American context, because people will say, oh, it's a cartoon, it must be for kids. And you definitely don't want kids watching Preacher.
Or anything.
Sure you do.
Or anything by Garth Ennis and Warren Ellis.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like, hey, kids, we made an animated Crossed.
Yeah. You want to watch The Boys? It's about superheroes.
Yeah, right.
Oof, man. I wonder if they're still making a live-action movie of that.
I don't know.
But here's the other big key part to a live-action version of Erased, and that's child actors.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have we seen any good ones in Japan? The only one that I recall is from that Japanese girl from Pacific Rim.
Oh yeah, when she was.
I'm pretty sure
she's
too old to play that part now.
Right. She was a child pop idol.
Well, when your competing actor in that movie is Charlie Hunnam, then anybody looks like a good actor. Just saying.
Well, you have Idris Elba and Charlie Day in there too. I mean, granted.
I'm just saying, like, it's like, hey, Charlie Hunnam is our main character. Wow, this movie has great acting in it.
Yeah. Just make him a one-dimensional flatline character that he shakes his head.
Shake his head and say it sincerely. Shake his head and say it sincerely. All of Sons of Anarchy.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's my one thing, is like, how do you, a child actor, how do you get such an emotional scene like the first time?
Like the breakfast scene.
Yeah, like the breakfast scene in...
Oh, so good!
Yeah, like, what do you have to do before that take? Do you have to punch the child or something? Tell them that their puppy's dead or something like that? Now go eat breakfast!
Well, you know, there was that movie of Room that came out a couple of years ago that had that really great child actor in it.
Yeah,
and they're able to get that sort of level of emotion from him. So maybe they could do the same with these actors, these child actors too.
Oh, hi, Sotaru.
That's The Room.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about Room, the one about the...
Room. Yeah, I understand. Room.
Yeah.
Red Letter Media thought that was going to win Best Picture of the Year, but it didn't.
Room?
Yeah. Mm. So that's what I got. I was excited. I mean, like, it's an interesting trend that Netflix is developing live-action series of anime.
Derek be a pod sensei.
Evan, seeing that we rang News Bell, John, do your piece of news.
All right, which one would you rather I do first? The one that we're all happy about, or the one that I'm probably the only one happy about?
Whichever one you want to start
with. All right, let's start with the one I'm sure that all of us are happy about. The fact that we're getting Senran Kagura Peach Beach Splash this summer.
Oh, perfect timing.
Yeah, I mean...
Let's get wet!
Yeah! I'm super excited. I mean, I hope Final Fantasy VII comes out before that, but if it doesn't, I'll be just playing some Peach Beach Splash.
Right. Because here's the thing. Because initially I thought it would be over a year before we would get it, because it took that long for Astroville Versus to come out. But it appears that they've been translating this game as they were developing it over in Japan, which is why we're getting it way earlier than usual.
Is that because of, like, the huge, massive response to Estival Versus, like, and how crazy well it did?
I think so.
Because, like, I mean, it did surprisingly well for a Senran Kagura game.
Yeah.
Right.
So, like, is this game... And because Estival Versus, we're going to say it again right here on the show, it's super fun.
It is ridiculous. Yeah,
regardless of whether it's filth, it is absolute filth. It is really fun, you guys. They really developed this game.
Here's the thing, though, that I'm wondering is if because of the popularity of Senran Kagura, you got the special edition version for $60 that came with the CD soundtrack, came with trading cards, came with an art book. Are we going to get that the same time around now that Senran Kagura is popular? Like, do you think that was one of the draw-ins, is that you could get the $60, like, for $60 you got a special edition version? Or do you think that they're going to make a $60 copy of the game now and you have to pay extra for the actual special edition?
Well, usually, you know, XC Games is very good when it comes to doing the $60 special editions. So I wouldn't be too surprised if it's the same. But maybe, and I'm just throwing this out there, maybe they could do another edition that's like the $100 one. It comes with the stuff that, for some reason, only the European version got for Festival Versus. Like the
Life-size boob pad?
Yeah, for one, and there was the one with the figurine, and there was even the ones for the hug pillow covers.
Oh, my gosh.
Interesting.
And Europe got them, but America didn't.
Well, I mean, yeah, that makes sense, I guess.
It does.
We never get hug pillows in who in their right mind is going to sell a product with a hug pillow in it?
Weebs?
Well, they would buy it, yes, but they wouldn't sell it. I mean, that would... I've never bought a hug pillow. I mean, as much as Manga Gamer every year at Anime Boston tries to get me a hug pillow, I have never bought a hug pillow because I would buy it, I'd be like, what do I do with this? You know,
and as to which the response is same thing that everybody else does with it.
Yeah, well, it's just like I have nowhere to put it. So like we get like a hug pillow in our Estival Versus thing, and they'd be like, cool, I have it. What do I do with this?
Showcase your shame to all the people.
Yeah, bring it with you on the train.
Yes, but yes,
I thought wars for you.
I gotta say, guys, Manga Gamer has some pretty tempting and some pretty great hug
they
pillows.
They do,
so,
they do. But so I've got standards. I have.
Yeah, and I did. So I still have not bought one over the course of 3 years that we've known them.
I plan to bring girls back to my place, and yeah. There's no way I could have something like that. The plushies are one thing because they're cute looking. But naked, anatomically correct hug pillows, that's a horse of a different color.
Well, which is the same reason why I didn't buy the Nikumi figurine at Anime Boston, because I looked at it and I was just like, I would really like this Nikumi figurine because it's Nikumi and she's my favorite Food Wars character, but would a girl appreciate this coming into my house? And the answer is no.
The answer is always going to be
that's why I'm kind of hoping that they come up with a Nendoroid of her, because at least Nendoroids are cuter. They're more forgivable.
An android that will have bigger assets than her main assets.
Yeah, and I have, you know, all my Monster Hunter stuff, and girls would appreciate having, you know, Monster Hunter figurines, but my Sergeant Frog bikini figurines, those will probably go away eventually.
Yeah.
Into the box of shame with you.
Yeah, you know, sell them on eBay, whatever.
don't sell them on eBay, dude.
Why not?
Could pay that college tuition.
Yeah, heck yeah, man.
I guess you could do something like that. Sorry. I don't have college tuition. I don't have debt stuff, so I don't have to worry about selling off any of these things. Not to rub it in your face, but I'm just stating a fact.
Well, that's what it was. What were we talking about?
We were talking about Senran Kagura.
Yes, Peach Beach Splash is coming this summer, and yes, we are totally going to stream that when it comes out.
Yeah, I hope so.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully we'll be able to... I mean, hopefully by the summer we can have, like, a better situation where we can all just kind of relax and get Senran Kagura done. So
Because the Overwatch one went over so well.
Well, we played Overwatch for quite a while.
We did. We did.
I still plan to go back.
But we didn't live stream it like we thought we were going to.
Yeah, I'm playing Ghost Recon and... what's it called now? Ghost Recon and Final Fantasy VII right now, so.
Yeah.
Waiting for the remake, so. And Overwatch has upgraded. That's besides the point. Anyway, Evan, what was your other piece of news?
All right, so as people might know, Dokakoba has become like one of my favorite anime studios. I mean,
that's
the ones.
Funny. I was going to talk about Dokakoba too because they don't have a show this season, and I'm very upset.
Well, that's because for one, they're now working on New Game Season 2, which was like the big thing I was very excited about. And, you know, even though I had my issues with Gabriel Dropout, how they ended it with those last few episodes, it boosted it up a few notches. And I could actually upgrade my grade from 5 out of 10 to something like 7 out of 10. Which, also, I have to say the OVA where they go to the hot springs is really funny.
Where'd you see the OVA?
Magical Anime Tree.
Oh, I didn't find one. Oh, I haven't seen it. There's a ton of OVAs that I haven't seen.
Yeah, still need to see that Food Wars one from over the summer.
Right?
From Jump Festa?
Here's the thing about going back to the Dokakoba's No Game, No Life. The movie looked really crappy.
No, that's not Dokakoba, that's Madhouse.
Oh, I mean...
New Game.
New Game?
Oh...
We're talking about New Game.
Yeah, so we're talking about New Game. We're talking about New Game, and it registered in my brain as No Game, No Life, which I was really looking forward to more. And now that I've said my statement, I might as well talk about it. Their movie that they're releasing is a prequel, and it's not going to continue the story further with the season one that we got.
Although there are rumors that it's going to pull what they did with Overlord and announce a second season at the end of the movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But anyways, with Dokakoba, they've announced the return of one of my more recent favorite anime comedies of the last couple of years, and this came as a big shocker. They're bringing back for season two, Himoto Amaru-chan.
I guess I should probably give it a chance, because everybody really seems to like it, and I really hated it, and I really...
Well, that's not necessarily true, because we might be talking about something similar to that when we get to the new season of anime.
Yeah, but I feel like I was, like, wrong, and I should just be like, maybe I should give Himoto-chan another chance.
The thing that I find is usually... Japan, when it comes to creating lazy characters, they know how to make them really funny. Like, if you want really good proof of that, not just the first season of Amaru-chan, but definitely watch Tanaka-kun is Always Listless.
I did want to watch that, yeah.
That show brought hilarity to laziness to a whole new level.
Huh.
Yeah, that's in my Netflix... Netflix. That's in my Crunchyroll queue.
Definitely watch it.
I did want to watch it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what I liked about it, too, about Tanaka-kun, is it had this sort of, and you might disagree with me on this one, but it had this very sort of, like, Don Hertzfeldt sort of means with the way that the dialogue out of Tanaka-kun was.
They're talking about certain subjects, but they're focusing on the wrong thing.
Yeah,
a little bit.
The least important aspect of every situation ever.
Yeah.
Right. A little bit. Or rather, it's more him, like... Like, observing something in the exact wrong way. Right. Sort of like in the way Hertzfeldt was.
Yeah. Okay.
The pipe is leaking. Yeah.
Like you said, you may disagree with me when you watch it, but that was the first thing that came to mind when I watched Tanaka-kun is Always Listless.
Yeah.
As he sucked blood out of the ulcer in his cheek watching a plastic bag on a flagpole.
Yeah. But anyways, second season of Himoto Amaru-chan. I am very excited about it, although I got into a bit of a fight of words with our own 42 Believer about it.
Really?
Yeah. she posted about it, said the orange gremlin is back. I posted... I posted jokingly, anime has been saved again, with Amaru-chan jumping up and down. 42 Believer then said, I say this with all the love in the world, Evan, but fuck you.
Oh, good. So me and Sarah were on the same page then?
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
You have Sarah in your corner.
Yeah.
And then I responded with the gif of all the Umaru-chans doing the samba dance with me going, and this is me not giving a fuck.
You didn't do that as John Cena? Remember they did the John Cena version?
Oh, yeah. Well, I couldn't find... Yeah.
You, my mate. Like, it was just John Cena's head. It was on all the Umaru chants. It was great. I loved it.
John Cena.
All right. While we're on the topic of things that have been announced, real quick, just because we posted this on our Facebook page, and this is really important to me and a couple of our other fans, what's it called? Black Lagoon is being taken off of hiatus again.
Yay.
So we got a book. Yeah. So we got a volume of Black Lagoon, went back on hiatus, and now it's back off of hiatus coming May. And, Hiroe is going to continue working on Black Lagoon, which is freaking awesome because Black Lagoon is my favorite manga series ever. Mm-hmm. Next to Elfin Lied, but Elfin Lied's over. This is, and Black Lagoon is still going. Yes. So that is super exciting news, and we should all be very excited that Black Lagoon is continuing, because it is amazing.
But that's not what you want to bring to the table.
That is not what I want to bring to the table. My discussion point is Wicked fan Marvin, long before, right after we started Karn Month, sent us a piece of Waifu Watch that he wanted us to talk about.
Okay.
And Marvin asked us, what are our Ranma one-half waifus?
Yeah.
Which... I can't even believe that I didn't even bring this up, because I love Ranma One Half. Ranma One Half is one of my favorite animes ever, and it has so many waifus, and there are so many good choices, but, you know, there's always only one choice that you have to choose from. And I think this can give us a pretty good diverse set of answers, because we have so many choices amongst the Ranma One Half universe.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start.
Yeah, go ahead.
My Ranma One Half waifu is Ukyo. And
which most people haven't even, unless they've seen like the entire series, haven't.
She pops up around season 2 or 3.
Really?
Yeah. I forget which, but
I feel like I've made it that far though, and I don't know. I haven't seen her, or at least I don't remember her.
But yeah, she was a character that just popped into yet another one of Ranma's fiancés that his father set him up with so that he could make a shady deal, and just, you know, get his way. And then, you know, Ranma always thought that she was a boy, and then she shows up when they're all older, and he's just like, you're Ukyo? You know, and so, but she's still tomboyish, but she's very cute. Very much in that way that all of her characters are drawn or written, you know, lots of tomboys, lots of adorable girls. But, yeah, Ukyo was always my favorite, right next to Ranma-chan. Female Ranma.
Yep.
Yes.
Though, I can't really count him as a waifu, because technically he is male. He's just the cutest girl on the show.
Right.
He is the cutest girl on the show, but waifu is definitely Ukyo.
Mm.
Next.
Well, you want to talk about your waifu level of Ukyo love?
I did, yeah. Well, I talked about this last episode on our half of the post-Anime Boston podcast, where I actually, at Anime Boston, bought a cell, like a production cell of Ukyo. And it's this, like, perfect shot of her, like, going at the camera. I posted it on Facebook, and I posted it on Instagram, and I posted it on Twitter, I think. But you can find it on Facebook for sure. Of the cell that I bought of Ukyo, and...
We don't have a Wicked Anime Instagram, by the way, just saying.
But my Instagram, sorry. But the guy, Anime Asylum is the name, and he's at a lot of cons, and you can just buy cells from him, because he goes to Japan and has these great connections, and he gets tons of cells. But he had a picture of Ranma-chan holding up a watermelon over her head, and it was this great shot of her, and I almost bought that one as well, but I had to go with Ukyo. Because, you know, Ron, my waifu, in a great show. I gotta buy more anime cells. Animation cells are history to me. Especially because, you know, I'm an animator, so I should have them. It's so much more worth purchasing than a figurine. Because you're literally holding a piece of that show in your hands.
So it's nice. And it's original, too. It's not like getting a film reel, you know, like people clip film reels apart.
Yep.
And it's like, here you go. That doesn't count. This is an actual hand-painted cell.
Yep.
Mm. So that's great.
Yeah.
Next, I'll go. I'll go. As much as I've always enjoyed seeing female Ranma on the screen, I've always had just a soft spot ever since the beginning of the series for Akane.
Yeah.
Like, I just think that she's the original girl and she's the best girl. I like her really angry, I hate Ranma attitude.
I like Akane too. And she's another tomboy in the series, like total tomboy.
Right. And she kind of like started the whole tsundere sort of thing too, if you think about it.
Yeah, I guess she did.
Because, you know, she has that sort of, I'm not doing this because, you know, I like you. I'm just doing this because I just want to be nice, that sort of thing. I had to think a little bit hard about this one because I know female Ranma is always like the best and the cutest one. But honestly, the more I think about it, the more I swing towards Shampoo as my waifu of Ranma one half.
That's a really popular story. Marvin, who brought this up, said it was Shampoo.
Yeah,
too,
Marvin
right?
also said Shampoo. And a lot of people say Shampoo. A lot of Ranma fans say that their waifu from Ranma is Shampoo.
Because she has this like really good balance of being both a badass and adorable at the same time. She's kind of like that. She's almost like the main character of that Ninja Girl and Samurai Master anime, but in more of a non chibi form in some way.
Yeah, and a very racist stereotype of Chinese people.
Yeah.
it wasn't our fault this time.
Yeah, and the same way that you said that Akane was kind of the origin of the tsundere character, I would say Shampoo is the origin of the yandere character.
A little bit, yeah.
She's crazy. Well, she's absolutely crazy.
She also thinks that female Ranma, or Ranma-chan, is going after Ranma.
Yeah.
So, like, whenever she sees Ranma-chan, she attacks her, and then whenever she sees Ranma, she falls in love.
Which is always really funny, because it's like, there are those times where he literally transforms right in front of her. But she is so dumb that she can't put two and two together.
Yeah.
And then she also goes to the springs, and she can turn into a cat.
Oh, right, I forgot about
Spoilers.
That.
Spoilers. Wait, how early do you know that? I'm not sure.
Short, I think it's the second time you see her, there's a cat following
that's
Ranma
right,
around.
That's right. There's so many, you know, there's so many characters that transform into different things that you can't seem to remember which one was which.
Yeah, because remember, Ranma has a phobia of cats?
No.
It's his weakness?
All right, the last time, it's been like 5 years since I've watched Ranma. So I don't remember a lot about it. If I watch it, I have to start over.
And I still need to collect the last few volumes of the Blu-rays.
I have so many volumes that I need to, because I think I have set 1 and 2, so I need 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Mm-hmm.
Cool. And the OVA movie collection that's finally coming out.
That's right. But those were written by the TV production, not by the original writer. So they're very different. They feel different.
Right. But it's good to have, you know, just to complete the collection.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Oh, good waifu watch.
Yes, very good waifu watch.
Thank you, Marvin.
Yes, thank you, Marvin. Okay, guys, so whenever you bring waifu watch to the table, you have to remember that a lot of the time we forget even the animes that we watch because we watch so many. So if you guys have a waifu watch that you guys want us to discuss, if we've seen it, we will definitely discuss it, because sometimes we just forget. Like, oh yeah, I have a waifu from that series. Which brings us to what we're watching / spring season of anime.
Yeah, yes. So our topagachi for today is we're going to be talking about the spring season of anime, which is awesome, mm-hmm. because I am in love with pretty much everything that I'm watching this season.
So far, same here in my book, too. Even the ones that aren't, like, full-on winners that I've watched, there's still something about them that I really enjoy.
Yeah, I want to watch a whole bunch of other shows that I haven't...
You know what? I want to start out with? Because I haven't watched it yet, because I just found out that it came out yesterday,
uh-huh.
or I think it was yesterday, maybe it was even sooner, uh-huh. was the one by the Oriimo creator, that Aero Manga Sensei.
Yep, I watched that. I watched it.
Was it good?
It's good, but it's leaning more towards the brother's probably gonna want to have sex with the stepsister that you know they're probably kind of good towards.
Well, I don't know. Ori Emo didn't go that far. Ori Emo just went as far as, like...
Yeah, kind of did.
Well, it no, did!
Ori Emo went pretty far, like, as far as, like, he's like, we're gonna kiss now, and, spoilers.
Yeah, who cares?
But, hey, I got Ori Emo on DVD. I love Ori Emo, except for the ending. Yeah, I wanted to check that out because, I just love Ori Emo, and two, Aeromanga Sensei seems like it's a really good premise just because, you know, he finds out that his favorite Aeromanga writer is his sister.
Nope, that's not how it goes.
Oh, well, I guess I'll have to watch it and find out.
I will say, though, it had a much better first episode than Ori Emo did, because I was bored with the first episode of Ori Emo. This really? One was actually really good.
I'm just going to start from the top of my... Because any chart just gives us everything.
Mm-hmm.
Attack on Titan Season 2.
Oh, yeah.
So
seen the first episode of that.
Yeah, two episodes are out right now, but I only watched the first episode. And I really liked the first episode. It was totally just jumping back into it. You know? It was a fun watch, and it was interesting. It was as crazy as ever, because you're just like, oh my gosh, this has some Game of Thrones stuff going on here. Because they just kill off characters any way they feel like it, you know? I did have to watch the last half of the last episode. So I watched part B of episode 25.
Yeah. Because you forgot what happened in season one.
Because the last thing I remember was Annie... Spoilers. You know, whatever happened to Annie. Basically, I watched from there on. I remembered all the stuff that I forgot. And then it went right into episode... Or season two, so episode 26.
Yeah.
And it was great. I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
I did too. I forgot how much of an emotional roller coaster Attack on Titan was.
Well, because they like to kill off the characters you like.
Yeah. Yep. Well, the other thing is, too, is that I forgot that it was actually a good show, too. You know, we've had this stint of no Attack on Titan for so long, and all we had to do was stew in the fandom.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, for
you
a while...
You never want to stew in fandom.
Yeah, so for a while there, it was like, oh, man, I can't stand Attack on Titan anymore because everybody's just talking about it. It sucks. And then season two comes out and you watch it again. You're like, oh, yeah, that's right. There's fandom because it's really good.
Yeah.
And I actually think that the Attack on Titan fan base is actually pretty tame compared to other fandoms.
Steven Universe.
Although I couldn't stand a couple years ago at Anime Boston when we were at the Attack on Titan English dub premiere and, like, people were... The manga readers were in there going like, oh, her, spoiler this, spoiler that. And then...
Luckily, I didn't hear any of it.
And then everybody was...
Kill them!
Everybody was singing the opening theme song, which was really annoying.
Bunch of tone-deaf otaku.
Yeah, well, not only can they not speak Japanese, but they also apparently can't speak German.
That's why you gotta be listening to some Rammstein. That'll help you.
Rammstein. And episode 2 that I haven't watched yet is about Sasha, which is my favorite Attack on Titan character, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Unless, of course, they kill her off in it.
I don't think... they're not gonna kill Sasha. And then watch it be an episode about them killing Sasha. Like, oh my gosh, no!
We just watch for an entire half hour straight of her getting eaten by Titans.
Oh. That would be so sexy. What?
What?
Who said that?
Hello, Vore.
Ew. All right, the next one that I want to talk about, because I'm super excited about this sequel, is My Hero Academia.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And absolutely.
Very good. I did like the first two episodes of it. I felt like that they were really starting to dive into what these, like, Olympics for heroes are going to be like. And it's fun, it's funny, but there's that level of intense, like, integrity that is being showcased throughout, because they know how important these games really are to showcase these people's powers.
Yep. The thing that I forgot about My Hero Academia is how exhausting this show is because of its Shonen Jump style. What I mean by that is we barely get any content at all from episode to episode.
It takes so long to explain just one thing and to get to the point.
Yeah. But when you get to that point, oh man, is it worth the payoff? Yeah. But man, like, Because the only thing that sits in my head from season one is seeing Plus Ultra from All Might.
Dude, which, All Might is the best character ever. All Might
is the greatest thing ever, and I know we've said that a million times on the show, but it's true, and All Might is the greatest superhero ever. But, like, so watching him on screen anytime is amazing. But now we're back at the beginning of the season, and the beginning of shonen anime seasons are always so slow, and it takes so long to get to the plot point, or the main juice of the story when the arc is just about to end. And man, do they pull out their whole arcs to take their sweet old time. Yep. Like,
well, this is going to be like a 26 episode season compared to the 12 episode season that was last year.
Oh, yeah, good. And think how long it's going to take for that to go on for. Oh, man. I'm looking forward to My Hero Academia Season 2 so much, but at the same time, it's going to be exhausting waiting for something good to happen.
So much exposition!
Probably.
Why are they taking 5 minutes to explain this move?
Yeah. And why is there another flashback now?
Yeah.
Why is there a flashback within that flashback?
That's definitely a thing that I like about My Hero Academia, though, is I like all the characters.
Yeah.
So, because they're developing so many characters, and I like the characters, I don't mind watching them to be the characters.
Well, here's the thing, too. In episode one of this season, we got Urarara's backstory, and it was brief. It was only, like, 2 minutes.
It was brief, and it was cute.
Mm-hmm. It was adorable. It was great. So they only spent like 2 minutes on explaining it, and it had everything that we needed to know about her character.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I just think that the characters are so well developed in this show, and even the bad guys, even the villains, the quote unquote villains, the antagonists, I should say, in this season are really cool. They're really interesting.
Yeah.
The fact that,
I haven't watched episode two yet, so don't go too far.
Well, I'm not. I mean, the premise is that, like, the antagonist in the series is that because Class A was stuck with all of those villains and they all survived, everybody's gunning for them now because they're like, oh, they got to actually fight villains and stuff now. So now we have to be better than them.
Right.
So everybody hates Class A. So really intense. Like there's so many people in the show who just suddenly hate all these really awesome characters.
Another show that I'm excited to start, that's starting again in season two, is Psychono.
That one hasn't started yet, though.
Yeah, in a couple days it'll start. By the time this episode comes out, it will have started. But that was one of my favorite harems to come out in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's really well animated. It's a little dirty sometimes, which I'm not super thrilled about, but it's not filthy.
Yeah, there's a lot of cousin love.
Yeah, there's a lot of cousin love, which is normal.
We're going
in Japan,
back to this again, I see.
Which is normal in Japan, I guess. But it has some funny aspects because, you know, one of the girls is an ero manga writer and one of the girls is a writer who writes light novels. And then his cousin writes music and they're all making a visual novel together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's really cool because all of the characters very clearly like the main character. And they're all kind of competing with one another to get the attention of the main character. And one of them's a tsundere, and they call her a tsundere, and they're saying, why are you playing the tsundere? You know, and then there's the girl who physically hurts him and beats him, and then... But it's all done in this weird, realistic setting.
Yep.
It's not anime cartooniness, it's realistic.
Although the main character is a cartoon character of him in himself because he doesn't like any of the girls back because the only thing that he really likes is 2D waifus.
Yes. Yeah, but it is one of my favorite animes.
It's a very drama.
Yeah, it is one of my favorite harems to come out in quite a while.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy watching it. So season two coming out is pretty exciting to me.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of drama in it. In that same respect, we have only a little bit of time left before we get the first episode of Sword Oratoria.
Is it wrong to try to pick up girls on a dungeon on the side?
Yes. And I'm actually pretty excited about this because it follows the other crew, but not because it follows, what's her name?
Eyes.
That main girl?
Wise.
Oh, Eyes.
Yeah.
But those two dark-skinned Amazonian girls are going to be very prominent
in the series.
Of
course. Yeah, that's why you want to tune in for that.
Yeah, dead serious, it is. That is absolutely why I'm going to...
Because I think Eyes was one of the worst characters in Daimachi.
I didn't think Eyes was that bad of a character.
I didn't think she was bad.
She's very one-dimensional, but the other characters are cute, so I'm going to watch them. I may or may not have doujins of them.
Well, you see, the thing about Eyes was she started as one-dimensional, as, like, the tough warrior girl. But then, as she started, like, getting into Belle's life a little bit more, you realize that she isn't one-dimensional. She actually has a little bit of those sort of layers. So the deeper you go with the story, you see that she isn't just, you know, super warrior girl slashing everything for the gold and money and whatnot.
Yep. Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see when it comes out.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Next up is one that we've all watched. All right. At least episode one. Yeah, episode two hasn't come out yet.
Right.
And it's Love Tyrant?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And Evan, I know you really liked it.
Yep.
I thought it was only okay. Jonathan didn't like it.
Okay.
It's very spread across the spectrum because, one, I know you thought it was... the main girl in it, which is
Guri.
She is the best character in the show.
Yeah, she is.
Her character design is phenomenal. She has a great character design, and she's the
only one with character design.
Yeah, and she's really, really cute.
Oh, those Japanese scientists working hard to create the cutest Japanese character.
But they failed on this one. They did not beat out Himari.
Hikari, or do you mean her twin?
Oh yeah, Hikari. Anyway, so the thing that really bugs me about this show is the animation is really bad. It's very, very blocky, mm-hmm. and very, hey, we just took this cell and slid it across the screen.
It's budgeted.
Yeah. And there's very little animation in it. And because they do that, character reactions are not that good. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't over-the-top respond to character reactions. Like a show like Interviews with Monster Girls, where every single facial animation, facial reaction was perfectly silhouetted out to react to whatever a character said to make it funny.
Right.
However, in this show, the animation is so weak that they still have facial reactions and stuff, but it's not stretched out.
I remember specifically there's one scene where the main character is actually, his voice actor is like, like freaking out.
Yeah.
But his animation's not doing that.
Yeah, I saw that. I did see that.
And yeah, I kind of noticed that as well too. But I felt like the more stronger aspect of Love Tyrant is a bit of the writing, I feel, is a bit stronger than the animation itself.
Yeah, but I don't know, though, because they packed so much information into episode one that I feel like they could have taken episode one and just made it a 3-minute short anime for the entirety of the season, to be honest. That's how fast the first episode moved. They took out so many of the most important aspects of the characters' relationships with one another in the first episode. I was like, where are they even going to go from here? Like, it makes me nervous about the rest of the series.
They did play off of it pretty well.
Yeah.
When they kind of twisted it around to, like, they added the Yuri relationship into it as well.
The Yuri incest relationship.
Yeah, yeah, well, Yuri. And that was it. All of a sudden, like, it was a Yuri relationship, and then all of a sudden it turned into a Yuri incest relationship, which made it funny.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the joke, you know? It was playing off of the haha Yuri incest.
Yeah.
But
what did you think of the yandere aspect?
It's funny, but it's kind of...
You've got somewhat angel power, so you can stab them all you want. Yay!
Yeah, that was definitely a very magical plot-solving acorn.
it's good, but there's no basis behind it. Like we said, all of a sudden she just kind of liked this guy because it's just like, oh, I've always liked you, but now all of a sudden I'm a yandere, but I've always been a yandere. And
yeah.
But none of that was explained or presented to us. All this information was just developed. Given to us. Yeah.
It was just kind of like, okay, the character accepts that you know, he likes her and it was too rushed. The first episode was extremely rushed. Yeah. And I hate that cat character. I hate him. so much. Not funny.
Yeah, he's pretty bad. Like, his character design, also very poorly designed, and
creepy.
People are freaked out that he's creepy, but he's creepy in an actually creepy kind of way. Like, he does dip down into that
uncanny valley.
Yeah. But still, technically, at this point in the game, you're supposed to still like him, but you don't.
Yeah.
I think that if they changed his eyes a little bit to look a little bit more friendly, it could still most very certainly be creepy that he has a human face, but because his eyes are like that creepy dead stare, he actually is creepy and you don't like him at all. Like you can't like him.
Yeah. It's a character design flaw. Not from like an actual, hey, I know how to design character standpoint.
Right.
Okay.
Like, he actually has some flaws. In him.
Yeah, and there were definitely a lot of, like, the whole thing with Guri living in the same house as the guy, and the parents just, like, accept that he's there
the
because
parents
of magic.
Were just, yeah, the parent characters were just brushed aside as well.
They were, yeah, the parents and the sister, like, they're uninteresting. It was really hard to watch for me.
All right, that's fair enough. I mean, I know it's not going to be, like, the show that I... Like, so far, I like it. I like the humor aspect. I like the style it's going for, but I know for a fact that it's probably going to disappoint me later on. It's just waiting for that point to occur for me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I'm going to continue to watch it.
Me too.
Right,
for Guri. For Guri.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I'm going to continue watching. I want to see where it goes.
Yeah.
But I know that it's not going to be, like, the greatest harem ever, or it's going to be the greatest comedy ever. But it'll be fun to watch, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to know that the animation's going to be pretty bad.
Yeah.
Boruto.
Yes, yeah. Boruto. What a great premiere that was.
So, what I really liked about Boruto was that it feels different. It does not feel like Naruto. And I love Naruto.
First and foremost, there are characters in Boruto who actually like Boruto.
Yeah.
As opposed to everybody just hating Naruto.
But... And here's the thing. I like Naruto.
Yep.
But Naruto was made for our generation. Boruto feels like it's a show made for the next generation of anime fans.
Hence why it's in the title, Next Generations.
Yeah. It's different. It feels like a different show, and it feels like a different society because society has advanced in the Naruto universe.
Right.
Yep.
So these kids have all this new stuff that their parents didn't have. Our Naruto characters, and it's cool to watch, and I really like it. And it was really well paced. It was a good introduction to the characters in the first episode because some of the characters were missing.
Yeah,
they didn't. Sarada wasn't even in it.
Yep.
Right.
At least until the end, and it was really good because you know she'll have her own entrance, but in the manga, in the epilogue of the manga for Naruto, it has a short Boruto chapter. And it hints that Sarada already likes Naruto, or Boruto.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she has a crush on him. Like, a little bit of a crush on him, which she did in the movie as well.
Right. Yep.
Which,
by the way, can I state that I'm so happy that they're not rehashing the movie like they did
yet.
With Dragon Ball Super?
They're not doing it yet,
yeah.
Because Boruto starts before the movie occurs.
Which is true, but hopefully they'll just be like, oh, if you want to see what happened here, watch the damn movie.
Yeah,
I hope so.
Yeah, because the thing is the Chunin exams aren't that far away from the entrance ceremony to the school.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, like, I don't know. I am kind of worried about that they are just going to rehash.
I think they are. I think there's going to be at least one episode where they're going to rehash from the movie.
I just
what
hope
I
that they
think,
don't spend 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What
I
the animated
think
movie.
That they're going to do. Is they're going to cut out the epicness that was the movie and Super Rasengan with Dad sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're going to skip that.
I am super excited for what Boruto's going to... Because my favorite chapter of Naruto was when they were all little kids.
Yeah.
So now we're basically back to them being little kids. But we get to see all of our favorite characters as adults our age. Like, our age characters. Like that.
Yeah, well, it seems like they're already planning another 1,000 episodes of Boruto because the show started out with Boruto being all grown up.
So does the manga.
Yeah.
Yep.
The manga did that too. But the manga starts at the movie.
Ah.
So the manga that's currently coming out is just a rehash of the movie.
Ah.
Right.
Okay.
But you see, at least we know that they have a game plan for this anime, and it's not going to be, despite it being actually a filler, they're not going to be having fillers within the filler.
Yep.
If you get what I'm trying to say.
I do get what you're trying to say, because they actually have the content to put out for right now.
Right.
Evan, you saw Anonymous Noise at Anime yes. Boston. That's technically coming out this season. Actually, as a matter of fact, from this recording, the first episode premieres tomorrow.
Yep, it's it's going to be an Anime Strike exclusive. And the more I see good shows going to Anime Strike, the more I'm like, maybe I should get it.
Yeah.
Especially with Sword Oratorio going there too.
Is that really going to be an exclusive?
It is.
It's an exclusive. So we're losing. Is it wrong to pick up Girls in a Dungeon unless you have Amazon?
Right.
Wait, seriously?
Yep.
Oh, I'm going to have to steal it. I said that on the podcast.
that's a hard pill to swallow because, I mean, Amazon picking up on the anime thing is a good idea, but the market's already been tapped. And I really don't think they're going to be successful at it because people aren't going to Amazon for anime. They never have. And if they wanted to do that, then they should have established that with some good anime content on Amazon Prime so their Amazon Prime users could have watched good anime content for free. And they didn't. So now we just have to accept that Amazon has this anime channel that you have to pay extra money for.
Right.
And it's just, it seems like it's going to be a waste.
I mean, you know, this is one of those situations where you have, like, one company, like, with Funimation partnering up with Crunchyroll. And now we have what seems like Sentai Filmworks partnering up with Amazon Strike. And, you know, it's not something that I want to, you know, put blame on Sentai or any of these companies. They're just trying to do what they think is best to expand their viewership. Whether or not we're going to see is going to work with Anime Strike, unless, and I believe that, I think this is what's going to happen. I think Anime Strike, maybe not this year, but next year, becoming its own separate service as an offshoot from Amazon.
Uh-huh.
I think that's what's going to happen because they're going to see the numbers and they're going to realize that no one's going to want to pay for both Amazon Prime and then an extra $5 a month for Anime Strike. They're going to be like, okay, what if we were to offer this? Like $7 a month for Anime Strike if you don't want the Amazon Prime, or if you still want Amazon Prime, we'll still do the $5 a month for that.
Mm.
Or something. That was just coming off of the top of my head. Like, who knows? Maybe they might offer Anime Strike for free for Amazon Prime. And then
To
Prime members. But if you just want Anime Strike, you can get that for separate for like $6 or $7 a month.
That I can get behind.
Same here. Yeah,
that business plan I could get behind.
But anyways, Anonymous Noise. This was like the first time where I was almost convinced to actually get Anime Strike. Because I'm a fan of like music-based anime shows. Yeah. And as people know, like I did enjoy like Fuka this past season despite the changes and such. And, you know, you see how passionate I get when I have to write a review of about music-based anime, especially when there's one that's really bad. Because, I'm partial to what should be, like, showcasing what great Japanese music should be. And Anonymous Noise does a very good job with that. They do a great job with showcasing really good music and very strong performances. Like, What really drew me in was watching the main character behind the mic singing. And it's not just her, like, being stationary behind the mic like what you see in most anime series. She's grabbing the back of her head. She's swaying back and forth, screaming the lyrics, sort of like this Amy Lee Evanescence sort of thing or, like, Headphones President or something like that. Like, you get to see the emotion of the lyrics just bellowing out of her, and it's quite impressive how they did it.
Huh, cool. Yeah, that sounds good.
So, like, Anonymous Noise is something that I think a lot of people are going to enjoy. Plus, it's got Daisuke Ono in it. Like, when you know Daisuke Ono's involved, you know it's going to be a good show.
It's true. Daisuke Ono does have...
Either that or they're just putting a lot of money into it and hoping something sticks.
Maybe. But I do recommend Anonymous Noise from the first episode, and people can read my full impressions of it on the Boss of Bash Brigade page. I know I posted it on the Wicked Anime Facebook, but just in case.
We watched anything else this season yet? I have shows that I want to watch, but I haven't even touched them yet. Hinako Note, The Royal Tutor, Sakura Quest, Berserk started again.
Yeah, Allison Zeruko. I'll say, okay, so Hinako Note, I watched the first episode of. It is going to be one of those shows where it's just cute girls doing cute things. I'm worried it's going to be a little bit, like, on the unhappy side, like the show Unhappy last year, it's going to be, the main character has this flaw where she can't really speak in a public place, and she literally freezes up into a scarecrow to the point where actually birds land on her arms when she's in that position. But it's cute. I'm going to give it a couple more watches before I decide whether or not to continue on with it. But
it looks like Keen Moza.
It does.
A little bit, but I feel like it doesn't have the character development thus far that Keen Moza had. Sakura Quest, which I thought was really good, had like this woman who's been trying to find a job. She's been elected to be queen of this like village that is like a fake country of sorts, and she's going to stay there for an entire year while she does her queen business. It's very, I want to say it reminds me of what they did with Kumamiko last year, but in a good way. Like, there's not going to be that FU ending that Kumamiko had. Like, the basic premise of them of this village trying to recapture their glory days, and they brought this girl in to help with that.
Yeah, kind of like an Amagami Brilliant Park sort of
a little thing. Bit, a little bit.
Yeah.
But it looks nice, it looks sweet, and I do like the animation of it.
Yeah. It actually kind of reminds me of Shirobako.
Yeah, a lot of the people animation, actually were comparing it to Shirobako for some reason.
Huh.
Well, the animation style, like the character designs look like Shirobako.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about as far as I can
go. Maybe
it's
the same studio. It could be the same studio.
Very well, it could be.
One of the ones that I also have not watched yet, but am interested in starting watch, is Allison Zeruko.
So just to give you the heads up, the first episode is almost an hour long.
Yes, I did notice that.
Good. First off, great action sequences in the beginning. Some nice humor between the little girl and the older person, between Zoroku. It does look like it could be the sleeper hit of the year, or rather of the season.
Yeah, I haven't dove into that one yet. I don't even really know what it's about, but I definitely want to watch it.
You know, I knew nothing about it other than the picture, like the cover picture of the cute little girl and the older man. I'm like, this could be nice. Walked into it and be like, that was actually really good.
Yeah.
So go in with no expectations and just, that's my opinion. Just go in without any expectations, and I think you will leave very impressed.
Let's see. Oh, I watched this one. It's a short anime called The World of Yamizukan. It's a short story series about, like, it's horror stories. And the first episode was so uninteresting that I was glad it was only 3 minutes long. I mean, it was basically the entirety of the first episode was this man saw his wife doing, like, getting dressed in the middle of the night when they were supposed to be sleeping. And then she started walking out of the house. So the guy followed her out of the house. And she's walking through the woods. And she meets this guy. And the guy is like, hey, don't, like, what are you doing with my wife? And then he runs up to the other man figure. And he notices that he's twice as tall. And then they get abducted by aliens. And then they're abducted by aliens in the end. Like, it was supposed to be a horror story, but it was just so blatantly not interesting in the least.
I don't know. Whenever you're running horror and you're not Junji Ito, good luck.
Yeah.
Which I bought all of his books at Anime Boston.
Oh, nice.
I have his entire collection now. Yay. Well, except for the ones that were only released in Japan. Boo.
Boo.
All the short stories that we don't have. I really want short stories.
Have either of you watched the first episode of Akashic Records of Bastard Magical Instructor?
No.
No, I have that one in my queue, though.
Animation-wise, it's kind of meh, but yeah. I liked the main character, just him being just this really uninterested teacher, just literally being a real bastard to the students. And that's really all I can say about it for now. Because I don't really want to spoil too much, but like he gets forced into teaching, and how he gets forced is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I have it in my queue, okay. And I'm ready to watch it whenever I get the chance. So
there's that. The Laughing Salesman was really entertaining.
Oh, I have that one in my queue too, and it seemed very odd.
Well, the thing is, it's trying to recapture the style, because it's from one of the co-creators of Doraemon.
Okay, that makes sense.
So it's got that sort of classical look to it. Like, if you watch Osomatsu-san, it looks like you're watching Osomatsu-san.
Uh-huh, right.
And I liked the pacing of the story, because it's split into two, like, mini-stories each episode. And I like how you don't quite know where they're going with it until, like, the very last minute. And you'll see what he was trying to teach this person, or rather, what he was trying to trick that person into doing.
The Laughing Salesman reminds me of that very evil Mark Hamill Joker from the original Batman, the animated series.
I could kind of see that.
Yeah. I haven't watched the episode, so I don't really know how he acts, but based on the artwork that I see it, like, the Laughing Salesman kind of scares me in that old classic Joker kind of way.
I mean, he does have that scary vibe to it, because his thing is like, I don't sell products, I sell souls. So it's not necessarily human souls. He's selling sort of something that the human soul wants or desires. And sometimes, or for what we've seen so far in these first two episodes, you'll see how it backfires on the individual.
Huh.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So it's kind of like they're warning tales of sorts.
Kind of like Hellgirl. Yeah,
A little bit, but with, I wouldn't say a funnier sort of outcome, but a more them not being dragged into hell afterwards sort of outcome.
Yeah.
And the last one I watched was one that actually just came up today in the Crunchyroll queue, and it was Tsukumomo.
Uh-huh, yep. I just added that one to my queue as well.
Very enjoyable. You'll notice that the main girl, the one who's like the main spirit, is voiced by the same woman who played Satania in Gabriel Dropout, so you're kind of getting a similar character of her, but as someone who is like a good guy, not someone who's trying to be evil. I liked it. It has this sort of, it definitely feels like it's an anime that should have aired like a few years ago, it's been lost in the times and such. But at the same time, it's just really enjoyable, very funny, a little naughty here and there.
Yeah, I was just reading that action comedy ecchi supernatural. Mm. So it actually has an ecchi rating, and they usually only add an ecchi tag when it's actually pretty prominent.
Yeah, it is kind of prominent in the first episode, not so much in the second episode. There's a bathing scene of sorts, and there's a couple dick jokes thrown in there from time to time. But some very funny ones. I actually enjoyed it. It kind of reminds me more of, like, Go Nagai's comedy stuff. His ecchi comedy in a little bit.
Huh. So more than a few years.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's all the time we really have.
Yeah.
And I think I went through everything that I've been watching.
I think we covered most of it, minus, like, oh, hey, the Blame movie's coming out. Oh, hey, there's a new Resident Evil movie coming out. Just stuff on the side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Blame is coming out on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
It's a classic cyberpunk show.
I remember.
Yep. Now, we got quite a bit of fan service to go through.
We do?
Well, it's...
I thought we only had one.
It's, like, not quite a bit, but it's been sitting there. It's kind of old, so... I mean, granted, we got a lot of fan service from Ian over the past couple weeks, one of which was what I posted on Facebook, which was his blueprint for our future Nakery.
Yep.
And then he gave us News Belichon at Anime Boston. We also have a what not to buy at a convention... from our Wicked Fan, Anna.
Anna, we know you've been very patient. Thank you very much, because obviously Con Month threw us off, and you send it right... Literally, we got this email from you right after we had already finished recording our episode. I was like, oh, look, an email.
Yeah, and hers, as I quote her, she says, it's kind of a do as I say, not as I do, because she is talking about grab bags.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
I...
I kind of get the same thing too. Whenever there's a grab bag, I was like, I really want that grab bag, and then you open it up, you're just like, I shouldn't have bought this at all.
Yeah, well, I got you that grab bag that was Monster Hunter stuff at Rhode Island Comic Con.
That's right, yeah.
And I ended up keeping half of it.
I got the Kigurumi from it.
Yeah, that's true. You got a Palico Kigurumi.
But I also got my own Monster Hunter grab bag at Anime Boston 2016. And that came with a full Palico figurine in Sergio's armor. Like, it was tall.
Yeah.
Mm.
That was a good one.
I mean, one of the things that we did for grab bags, we would buy a plushie grab bag so that we could give them away as prizes whenever we played our Anime Boston games. Yeah. And, I mean, that is a budget way of doing that. I mean, the dealers in the dealer's room who we bought them from made a deal off of us, you know? I guess it's interesting in the aspect for Anna. She says that she's the kind of fan that isn't big on collecting things. So, like, she's not into anime cells or wall scrolls or figurines or anything like that. So, you know, what do you buy? And it's a little bit of an interesting thing to get a grab bag because you don't really know what you're going to get. Yeah, you might be excited to find something if you're not really into it.
Well, it gives you that thing like, hey, I don't like collecting things, but if I buy this grab bag, then I don't have a choice of whatever's in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so it's almost like you bought a grab bag, but you don't have the options all around you. Of like, hey, you could buy this. It's like, no, I'm going to buy a grab bag and whatever you give me is what I'm going
to
get.
Yeah, or because as she says in her email, you know, it's hard to give away those Angelic Layer Volume 3 DVDs or a character keychain that is completely unidentifiable to you. so it's a toss-up at the most, but I guess in the same way that a lot of places sell those mystery boxes that have those little mini figurines that Christine loves to buy.
Yeah.
It's having that box in your hand. That's the most exciting part about it. And then you open it up and you're like, this is crap.
Yeah. Oh no, that was the same thing. Like, I was trying to buy a gift for one of my coworkers because we play Monster Hunter together.
Yes.
And so they sold keychains, the mystery box keychains of every single weapon in Monster Hunter. So they had like all the symbols, but in keychain form. And I bought 4 of them, and none of them were the hunting horn.
Yeah.
Because Brent is a hunting horn hunter, and none of them that I got were a hunting horn.
As a matter of fact, you got like 3 bows.
Yeah, and not only that, but they were completely useless to me because I couldn't even keep them because they were weapons that I have no interest in using when I play Monster Hunter.
Yeah, but you got a Palico one, too.
I did get a Palico one. That's what I gifted to him instead. But I really just, he was a hunting horn hunter, and I really wanted to, like, give him that hunting horn, because that was so special. But those damn boxes don't tell you what's inside of them.
Yeah, those mystery boxes are a blessing and a curse.
Temsu gifted me one as well, because they had little Palico keychains. And so we both got little Palico things, and he opened up one. I forget what he got, but the one that was inside of mine was a Meelynx. Palico, so the black and white one, which is the Palico that I use, with Ludroth armor on it.
Ah.
So it was pretty cool. It was this guy right here.
Nice.
So and Temsu gifted that to me. So I gifted him the heavy bow gun because that was one of the weapons he tested out using.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that's funny. Well, Anna, thank you so much for your contribution to our con month.
And at the end, she said, happy con month, and we sure as heck did.
Yeah, we had the best con month.
Yeah, that was a great con month.
One of the very best, yeah.
Yeah, so Temsu messaged us.
Yeah, Temsu sent us one kind of like a good closing message for the end of con month, too. He said, I'll read it straight out. I'd like to give out a couple of awards because I'm afraid I'll forget them otherwise. The best t-shirt of Anime Boston 2017 was this No Waifu, No Laifu t-shirt, which I saw a lot of people had bought.
Yeah.
It said No Waifu, No Laifu across it, and there was a nude anime girl on the inside of the text. And,
really?
And there was, and like there, she was being covered up by...
I missed it. I totally missed it.
Yeah, I saw a couple people with it. Evan, you might disagree with this one. The best plushie of Anime Boston 2017 was a... great competition between the Brachiadios and the Zenogre plushies that we had found while we were monster hunting.
Yeah.
And
it warmed our frozen Monster Hunter hearts.
Yeah. The Hestia one that the Sentai Filmworks booth had was pretty cool, though.
Which is one of the ones I bought.
But then you also bought the Konosuba ones, which were amazing.
Oh, yeah. Like, I can't believe that these are crane game prizes.
Yeah, they're huge. Yeah.
I know. We're getting gypped here in America. We get these little teeny tear things. Japan gets waifus.
Yeah. And then, so he said, in the end, though, the absence of a Megumin plush would just
which
cut
is
too
true.
Deep, of
which
course.
Is true. And I'm surprised that they haven't made a Megumin one for them.
Yeah, and the Poogie plush takes the award by the nose.
Yeah, that's right. That giant Monster Hunter Poogie.
Yeah, I should have bought it and named it John Hamm. Because that's what I named my Poogie in Monster Hunter was John Hamm.
Poogies are pigs, for anybody who doesn't know. All right, let's see. The best show of AB 2017. Oh, yeah. We had snow in the convention hall.
Yeah, no, he said best snow of AB 2017.
Oh, best snow.
The snow dripping in the panel room.
Yeah, so it was snowing during Anime Boston 2017.
And it was snowing in Anime Boston 2017.
There was an open hole in the top of the roof.
And it wasn't just dripping water. Actual snow was
coming in.
Yeah,
it was
really funny.
It was very strange. So it was snowing inside the convention center while we were... who we were watching? We were watching Patrick Seitz.
Yeah. Yeah, we were watching. And, and finally, best puns of AB 2017.
Derek.
Yeah. Uncontested.
Derek of the Boston Bastard Brigade crew, he could shell them out like nobody's business. And he made all of our frustrated, where are you texts.
So funny.
Like, for instance, we were waiting for the closing ceremonies and Victoria was frustrated because she couldn't find us. And she was like, where are you guys? And Derek was like, the best kind of skates of the 90s. In line.
And I just want to point out that seeing that Tempsu mentioned the Brachydios and the Zenogre plushes, that I also found an Arzuros plushie from Monster Hunter, which is the bear that is my favorite armor, and I actually have a figurine of a Monster Hunter girl wearing that armor, which is amazing.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite figurines that I have. So I almost bought that. They were selling them not too expensive, but I decided against it because I had already bought a Final Fantasy Mikote plushie, and that was good enough for me.
Yeah.
I found Final Fantasy Catgirls. Yay.
You know what? I've realized I don't have any Catgirls in my Nendoroid collection. I need to change that. I was trying to find, because one of my favorite Love Live characters is Rin, and she's like the cat girl in the group, and there's nothing cat girl related to her.
Huh, that's odd.
Like, she's the one who always, like, ends her sentences with, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like...
Which is a very strange practice in Japan. Because,
in Moe culture?
Well, yeah, in Moe culture, because you would never see anybody in America end their sentences with meow.
Meow.
Yeah.
I know somebody who does that.
Oh, cool. Meow.
We also have a fan service from Wicked Fan Scott.
Oh, it's good to hear
from
Scott.
All the way in the UK.
Yeah.
Jolly good.
He's been watching a lot of Twitch TV / Nerdy Show with Steve-O.
Yeah, Friday Night Fan Fiction.
And one thing that he wanted, he said he just listened to our first episode of Con Month, and he thought it was very important to mention to us that Steve-O on Step Tuesdays, which is one of their stream team stream shows, where Steve-O will do a workout show with Step Mania. He actually has a Step Mania pad. Otherwise, he'll just use, you know, if you just want to go there and listen to good music and stuff like that. He also says that he has been playing Senran Kagura Estival Versus with the Step Mania pad.
What?
What indeed?
So, now this...
How is that even possible?
See, now this kind of confuses me because I know Steve-O has had Estival Versus for the PSP. Is this still his PSP version, or has he gotten a PS4 version and we need to play with him?
Well, I would imagine that it would be a computer version because the Step Mania wouldn't be on... the PS4.
Right, because they just came out with it on Steam.
Yeah.
So you know, I think I should buy it for Steam. I've got to check. Is it for Mac or is it only for PC?
Only for PC, so no nude mods for you.
No, I didn't even care about nude mods. I just want, like, because if I...
Are there nude mods?
Does.
Are there nude mods?
There will be.
Because the thing is... You know, I always have my computer with me, but I can't always take my PS4 with me. So if I had Estival Versus on my computer, and I could just take my computer with me, I could play it whatever the heck I wanted.
That is true.
But yeah, that's a good plug for Nerdy Show. And
although I will say that XSEED Games made a joke about there being Estival Versus on the Nintendo Switch, and they posted a picture of the PlayStation Vita cover of Estival Versus on top of a Nintendo Switch.
Was that on April 1st?
Although that would be cool if they brought it to Nintendo Switch. Because Senran Kagura did start out on the 3DS.
Yes. Yes, it did.
Man, there's a lot of stuff here. There's Senran Kagura. Like, there's a lot of DLC stuff. You can buy all of the DLC for $82.
Wow.
Practically $83 on Steam. And, like, the game itself is $40, and all the DLC content for Steam is $82.88.
Wow.
Except one of them's free, the Summer Freedom Pack.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the clothing is free, but at least it's still better than that $100 DLC for Galgun Double Piece.
What?
There's a $100 DLC thing for Galgun Double Piece, and that is so you can see through their clothes.
Oh.
Really? Jeez.
But if you want to see through their clothes, you got to pay up $100, or you can be normal and just watch porn like everybody else.
Yeah, that's freer, and that's super perverted.
I don't know, man. I was going to say something completely different, not related to that. Just that Senran Kagura, it's super tempting. So if I were to get a PC whenever I decide to get it, I might rebuy this, because I love this game.
I like it, the first line in the trailer. Time to steam up your Windows. Okay, so it's time for some shameless plugs, because we got to get going.
Okay. All right. If you guys want to join in on the conversation, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we discussed most of the stuff that we were talking about today, which was on our Facebook page. You can also find us on nerdyshow.com/wickedanime to listen to the podcast if you're not already listening to it on SoundCloud or on iTunes, which...
We have a new review.
We do have a new review. So if you guys write us a review on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, which helps our show get better and more recognized, and write us a good review, we will read it on the show, like this.
For instance, we have from Ivan Rodesky.
He says, wicked good,
wicked
5 stars.
Good, 5 stars. These guys always have a good podcast. They really enjoy putting it on, and it shows.
Yay.
And that really makes us feel good about the fact that people can see that we actually enjoy doing this, because we do. Of course we do. And without all of you, it would be nothing.
We seriously, seriously, seriously do this for the fans.
Yeah.
Because if we didn't have you guys, we would not have a show.
Yeah, we couldn't do it because nobody would be listening. We'd just be talking to a wall.
Yeah, and it probably would have gotten very old very fast, mm-hmm, if you guys weren't listening, and we probably would have stopped. So the fact that you guys are out there to support us do this show, we love you for it.
Yes.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.
So if you guys want to join us on our social medias as well, you can find us at Twitter and tweet us at @YoWickedAnime. We tumble things sometimes on Tumblr at wickedanime.tumblr.com. And of course, we have Twitch TV, which we don't use too often, but when we do, it's great. Mm-hmm. Especially this summer when Senran Kagura comes around.
Yeah!
At Wicked Anna Play. That is Wicked Annie Play.
Evan, your turn.
What do you have?
All right. So, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastion Brigade, and there are going to be quite a few videos coming out from Anime Boston, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. For any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, No Borders, No Race, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at KingBabyDuckESH. Yes, I changed my Twitter because I was getting sick and tired of saying underscore all the time in between. And you can also follow me on the J-pop, video games, and an anime amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH as well. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBastardBrigade and on Facebook.com/LandOfEsh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Ash, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smash Rook, and Nerd Crave. And can I actually end with just a little bit of a plug? Like, I've actually finally, after 4 months, I have found my first contender for Album of the Year.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
And it's an album that I actually sent Andrew and Jonathan. I don't know if they've listened to it yet, but the band is called Satellite Young. And all
I did. I listened to a track or two.
Yeah, all of their songs sound like the best, like, opening and ending themes to anime from the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, it has that electronic flair to it.
It's an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it sounds really authentic, and it also sounds very modern at the same time. So you're not getting that washed out kind of, you know, retro feel to it. It still sounds like a modern music, but it also still sounds, it has that retro feel in the instruments that they're playing, but the recording quality is way better.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know? And it's one of those albums where as you're listening to it, you're going to want to confess your love to your high school sweetheart and then go off and pile a giant robot for an epic battle.
Yeah.
So yeah. Definitely, that's my first contender for album of the year, Satellite Young, they're self-titled. You can find it on their Bandcamp, on Amazon, and on iTunes.
Yep, you can also find it on YouTube on Retro New Wave channel, and the entire album is on there.
Right, that too.
Oh, Retro New Wave, I listen to them. They do a lot of synthwave stuff.
Yep, they have Satellite Young.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So yeah, take a listen to them on there. If you like it so much, go out and support them because, you know, without your support, they don't know if they're popular enough to come over here and perform for you.
If you like it so much, why don't you marry it?
Well, the lead singer is kind of cute. Oh no, she is very cute.
She is.
All right. So thank you very much, guys, for joining us on this episode of Wicked Anime. We will look forward to having you listen to us the next time, and next time maybe we'll talk some more shows that we watched after we catch up a little bit. We'll see.
I hope you listen to us.
Yes.
Yeah. So, thank you very much. Until next time. And now we'll sign off the only way we know how.
K-bye!
K-bye!
K-bye! K-bye. Is there an airplane flying overhead, Evan?
Yes, there is. I have my windows open. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
It's a nice day. Come on. You got to embrace this nice warm weather.
Yeah, spring finally showed up. Well, the only thing that popped into my head because we were talking about Don Hertzfeld a while ago was the squid pig flying overhead with.
Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review on iTunes, or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can subscribe to the Wicked Anime Podcast via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show and Wicked Anime on all your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.